You're about to enter into a new world of knowledge, curiosities, and high strangeness. This is a podcast of Straight Up Strange Productions.
Welcome to episode 80 of Spellcast. I'm your host, Courtney, and this is my co-host, Andriel.
Greetings, friends. It's great to be back. I know we gave in one of the last episodes an explanation for a hiatus, but we had another thing happen to us, well, an amount of things happened to us, in which we had to take another hiatus.
So, yes, quite unexpectedly, but for all good reasons. So thank you guys for hanging in there. We definitely didn't mean to mislead. We are going to be in season two, so this is now a bi-weekly thing. You can listen to us in the future. And of course, listen to all the awesome episodes we have up until this point. This is episode 80, so there's a lot of episodes that you can listen to catch up. And we will explain what was the cause of this hiatus. So it's exciting, like I mentioned. We have moved to Michigan, for anybody that doesn't know. We were based on Long Island, and now we are expanding into Michigan. So we still have our Coven and Diamond Coast Productions events, and of course, all of the other business happening there with our High Priestess, Aramid.
There, meaning New York.
And in New York, yes. And now, Andriel and I will be here in Lansing, Michigan to start a new branch of Diamond Coast Productions. I have a new job here, and that was part of the hiatus, as I had to very abruptly move in 2 weeks. And then, of course, all of the things that come with moving, and we had some challenges to face in regards to where we were renting. So, you know, things fell a little bit behind, but we're happy to be back. And at the end of the day, it's a very wonderful and opportunistic move for us. We are literally going to be moving forward in so many ways.
Yes. I have been expanding my voice performance career, the holistic ends of the Demonicos business. We're making a lot of new friends, and I have also recorded for television. There is the Power of Mid-Michigan Arts, where I'm sharing the stage with a few other musicians and visual artists, as well as poets. So stay tuned for that. Lansing is quickly becoming the new arts capital of the world. So we are setting a lot of new standards. A lot of great things are happening, dear friends. So keep up with that. Look up Opportunity Arts, the Artist Umbrella, the Four Aces of Arts. We're going to be promoting a lot of new things. And if you want to see me sing, in which you'll see, you know, for those of you who are diehard fans, if we have any of those.
Yes, we did have a few I Miss You, so very much appreciated for everyone that was missing the podcast and wishing us well and hoping everything was okay.
And thank you for those who always are kind and also express constructive criticism rather than passing their two cents. Frankly, you know, it's nice to have good critics out there, mm-hmm. But, you know, for all the bad ones out there, nudge, nudge, wink, wink, you're adorable to us.
So any of those new upcoming things with Opportunity Arts, which Demonicos Productions, we are affiliates of, you can check out the show notes. We have a website there, and I will put links where the Power of Mid Michigan Arts is going to be, because it is a local news channel. So if there's any online ways you can view it or anything else, then we'll let you know. Otherwise, just our social media for some clips and more information, plus any news articles that we wind up being in. So yeah, that's, I think, a pretty good summary, even though a lot has happened. But we managed to kind of put it all into a nutshell. And as I said, our plan now is to do bi-weekly episodes to make sure we can get them out regularly to you. We have so much to share still, and we have shared so much already. So thank you for our loyal listeners, and hello to any new listeners. We're happy that you have joined us on this journey.
All right, so in the spirit of new beginnings, why don't we go back to the basics, the very vast basics. And when we say basics, this is what we in the Daimonikos family coven deem as the foundations for becoming a master mage and a master magic user. Most people don't realize everything that goes into being a master artist, a master scientist, which is being a master mage. You know, we've said before that, you know, that there's, you know, for certain types of listeners that, you know, magic is science we do not understand yet, but it is also much, 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 much more than that. Yes. And, you know, there are things that we say for certain people to comprehend, and, you know, it is what it is. But what we do is such the magnum mysterium, as we have always put it. So we are going to kind of list things off and give brief explanations for new listeners and old listeners alike to kind of reiterate the foundations of thought that we have and what our traditions are and our particular practice.
Yes, and what better way to start a new season than going back to the basics. Now, we are going into the Daimonikos Grimoire for this, so very special that you guys are able to be listening to the things that we have worked so hard to collect over the years.
Grimoires, plural.
Yes, yes, yes. So if, of course, you'd like any more in-depth information, you can visit our website. We have classes and workshops that go in-depth into our grimoires, where you really learn all of that knowledge that we've accumulated over the years. We share it with you in a wonderfully comprehensive way, and there's different levels for all different level magic users.
Yes, and just to reiterate that, you know, since we've expanded our business, we've expanded a lot of things. You know, we're being full-time magic users and full-time magic teachers and full-time performers, artists, etc., etc. Mm-hmm. Everything we do, in full-time content creators. And we're working with a bunch of other favorite content creators as well, some of which you might see as guests. We're expanding a lot, and it's been a lot of tireless work for us. So it's been kind of get up, go to sleep, and we've been trying to organize and format things as best as possible. We never want to do this podcast or anything half-assed, so we have to do what we need to do. But now we're back in some sort of semblance of swing of things, crossing mm-hmm. our fingers. Just to let everyone know, we've been getting a lot of requests for more information to come in regards to topics well-rounded. So if we give away every single little thing, then there's no incentive for people to buy our classes, which are very comprehensive.
Yes, and pursue knowledge in the sense that it is something to work forward through, and, you know, kind of that expansion of your mind and really deep diving into it. So of course we'd love to share. But in relation to a post that I had recently made on our Instagram about energy exchange, is finding that equivalent energy exchange where, you know, this is our full-time gig. This is something we want to do, and we want to share this with the world. We do. We want to make sure that all of the knowledge we've accumulated is something that people have full access to. But of course, it's an energy exchange. We have done so much work to get this on paper, in our grimoires, and to make these classes. And we want to make sure we have all these sources for you ready. And so that's just the energy exchange that we're asking for. And we believe that it is very fair. We work with people in multiple ways. So we want you guys to have a couple different avenues for pursuing your magical knowledge. There's a podcast where you're going to get the awesome introductory stuff for curbing that curiosity, and then once you want to learn more, just come on in and join any of our classes and workshops.
And if you want to know all of our credentials, well, we can certainly list them for you, but we don't want to come off as blowhards on a podcast. But
absolutely not. We want to make sure that we are approachable and that you guys are enjoying your experience, because this is about making connections, and it's about making the world a better place and making sure everybody has access to magic. That's really what it is. It's not something that anyone should try to keep from anybody else. We're all learning and sharing together.
So, without further ado, we will now jump further into the back to the basics, as we said.
Mm-hmm.
We're speaking from the place of the Daimonikos tradition, which is our tradition, our brainchild, and which studies the greatest cultures from all around the world. We wish to study just about everything and see mm-hmm. where how everything connects with each other. This mm-hmm. is not a tradition of dilutism. We have practitioners that deeply study each yes. cultural background, and we bring things together, and we are also a new type of practice. So in order to foundationally understand just how much needs to go into everything, you must study First, the foundation of what I've said before on this podcast, the seven classical liberal arts. To give you all an understanding of what the seven classical liberal arts are, the relationship of the symbolism of the numbers 3 and 4, the three of the trivium, grammar, logic, and rhetoric, grammar being your input and your knowledge, the gathering of data, the who, what, where, and when, the logic, which is the processing and understanding, which is the substeps of filtration, correlation, and analysis. This is both literal in literal physical sciences and metaphysical in regards to how our mind functions. And then you have rhetoric, which is wisdom and output. This is speech, action, justifiable arguments. This is the how. Logic is the why. So we use this to diagram and consciously understand things. The trivium are the three liberal arts of the conscious mind. The quadrivium is the subconscious mind and the grand subconscious of existence. Now we understand this. This is in the order arithmetic, geometry, music, and cosmology. Cosmology including astrologia, astrology, astronomy, meteorology, etc., etc. So, you know, we're in a day and age where a lot of people specialize in a lot of things, but specialization, though it is important for a grand scheme, can also be harsh on the mind because we can make a macro perspective out of what is supposed to be a micro perspective. Mm-hmm. This does not mean it is not very important and we shouldn't do these things, but unfortunately, it's what it does to a lot of people's minds when they specialize in one area. So, for example, there are a lot of people who are wonderful astrologers. You know, they have mm-hmm. wonderful careers as astrologers and astrology-based psychics. But the problem is that we've run into a lot of people who are astrologers who do not work with the other three liberal arts of the quadrivium and the other subsequent three in the trivium, so to make all seven. What we mean, how this is a problem, is that people think they can specialize in an area without understanding the key elements as to what led to these things. Mm-hmm. Astrology is the last part of it for a reason, because it is arithmetic, geometry, and music all on a grand scale. If you don't know music theory in all of its senses, not just Western European music theory, but music theory from all sorts of backgrounds of thought, if you do not know geometry and the golden ratio and how this works in music, which, to quote Johann Wolfgang von Goethe, music is liquid architecture, architecture is solid music.
Yes, which we've definitely mentioned before, because it's such a beautiful quote, and I think that's the different approach that we have, is taking all of these things into consideration and making it a part of our practice, because specialization is good, and if that's something you want to pursue after knowing the basics, then definitely go for it. But yes, I really think having this well-rounded base is something that everyone should strive for.
Knowledge is only as good as the articulation, mm-hmm. and the problem is that if... So we've run into a lot where people see like basic types of horoscopes. And, you know, we've talked about the psychological theories such as like the Fourier effect and things of the like. I'd say, oh, people are more inclined to believe things that sound like them, that reinforce things that they like. And that is a psychological trope. However, it is limiting. And there are a lot of reasons you can poke a hole in that from a grand amount of perspective. We will talk about these at our colloquiums and symposiums. And this is not necessarily refuting it, but it is also bringing more variables to it. And the reason why we bring this up is because when you write that, oh, earth signs are stubborn, it's like you're not really... That's pretty open-ended. You have to specify, okay, well, what kind of stubborn is it? Mm-hmm. What kind of materialistic is it? What kind of traits do these things share? You have to have very specific articulations, and we're in a day and age where the English language and language comprehension in general has suffered a great deal. The nuance in which you must convey, is there a good version or a bad version? Is there a positive and a negative? And good and bad, positive and negative, are not synonymous with each other necessarily.
You know. And then you run into the issue that now people overgeneralize and they think that these negative traits belong exclusively to certain types of people. And it's we've talked about it before in astrology episodes, is that it's limiting to think that you are bound by a sign. You're yes. bound by this. It's something that is meant to exalt you and not hold you back or be an excuse for negative behavior. And I see people doing that a lot, especially now it's become very offensive, which makes me a little bit upset because...
Well, we're seeing prejudice in yes. regards to oh, very certain much. Signs. Like people are like, oh, stay away from Aries, Cancer, mm-hmm. Scorpio, etc.
And unfortunately, it's like, well, where does that end? Are people just going to project it onto any type of person they don't like? And that's just not fair. Again, that is a prejudice, like Andreal said, and that's just really offensive to the individual people. And then, of course, the study of magic and astrology.
And also the gods that are the physical makeup of this existence. Mm-hmm. You know, you're, and it shows a grand ignorance that all these things are moving, you know, all together at once, constantly, whether you realize it or not.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're at play, you know. So poor articulation, it doesn't necessarily matter how you know, how much you think you know something. If you're not able to convey it, express it, live it, then it's, you might be doing a disservice to it, mm-hmm. by saying, oh, okay, well, these elements may be there, but I don't understand those elements, so, but I do understand this, so I'm going to keep going. You can actually do a disservice, because then people who have more specific analytical oriented minds are going to poke holes in things and say, oh, this is fake. And then instead of helping the institution and the culture that went into all the astrology from all around the world, many cultures, and not just Western astrology, but, you know, Eastern astrology, Ayurvedic, you know, etc. But these are things that we have to watch. You know, and most people, we're in a day and age where most people are very off put by mathematics. I myself only have really one math teacher that really reached me in high school, and I realized that a lot of the reason why it didn't come to me was because I just wasn't being taught right, and the symbolism and all the grand scheme of how this is put in was stripped from it in these, in the way that schools are nowadays.
Which I heard a lot. A lot of people would ask our teachers, you know, what's the purpose of this? And the math teacher I found to be the most successful was someone that would actually teach us practical things for math, like how to cut down a tree or how to measure something for building something, where it really did matter and you could put it back into a real world perspective.
And then you see the beauty of when you have that foundation, then you can get into all of the wonderful aesthetics that make something perfect. Which is, you know, in artistry, this is in music, you know, you get the golden ratio as well, you know, these perfect frequencies that everyone listens to, and and the perfect shapes, what makes a building raise a person's vibration versus lower it, the importance of architecture, how this dictated certain philosophies that have affected our current culture or the lack thereof in certain people, unfortunately.
Yeah, and please don't be intimidated by all that goes into this, because there is a little witch in all of us, as I always say, and that means that we all have the capability to learn everything we want to. We have the ambition, the drive. We can all manifest that knowledge and wisdom that we seek. This is not meant to be intimidating. It's meant to be inspiring, because we want you to pursue the knowledge to the fullest extent. That's where all of the harmony and power is going to come from. So don't feel intimidated. Remember that witch inside of you and go for it. Just, you have the ability to learn all these things. You have the ability to learn multiple languages, to learn the math that you never thought you could learn, to listen to music, to learn music theory, to learn architecture and building and anything you could possibly want to learn, and how you want magic to manifest in your life.
Become a Renaissance person. Ask the gods, but when you ask for knowledge, you're asking for responsibility. Mm-hmm. There's no knowledge and wisdom without responsibility. Yes. If you want that without responsibility, know that this is selfish and you will never receive it.
And that's something too, is we all have our own, you know, shadow work to go through. We have our own challenges, but that doesn't mean that you can't overcome them. You can overcome them. So recognize maybe where you're a little bit weak or where things fall a little bit short, and just focus on those areas. Ask the gods to help you. Work with them. Find deities that specialize in things that you might need a little extra help with. And that doesn't make you a bad person. It doesn't mean anything is wrong. It just means it's a challenge for you, and that's part of your learning experience in this lifetime.
Yes. So the 7 classical liberal arts are, it's one of the best foundational techniques humans have ever created and the gods have bestowed upon us. So grammar, logic, rhetoric, arithmetic, geometry, music, and cosmology are the grand foundations. The great number 7, once again referenced, the numbers of heaven, if you will. So you must study, at least foundationally, the 7 major metals: lead, tin, iron, copper, mercury, silver, gold. What are their practical uses, and their esoteric metaphysical symbology go hand in hand. The same can be said about everything. Always remember the phrase, life mimics itself everywhere. The 7 the seven trials of alchemy: calcination, dissolution, separation, conjunction, fermentation, distillation, coagulation. The seven spheres, or the seven major gods, that are synonymous. So the sun, the moon, Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, and Saturnus, where we get the 7 days of the week. That is synonymous. The Platonic solids, and later the Kepler solids. Always learn the Platonic solids first. The seven standard chakras, and then the multi-chakra system, which comes later. The principles of the seven music notes and the 12 music notes, which are including the half steps, not just the standard steps, the whole steps. The principles of arithmetic are arithmologia, more commonly colloquially known as numerology. Arithmologia is more correct because the word numero comes from Latin, and it's not Greek. So the word logia is a Greek word. You know, people kind of mix Latin or English words or sometimes other language words together, and it's not technically linguistically correct, though you can use it. I'm just letting everyone know that, you know, numerology is what it's more known as. We've said it before, but I think I've said this before on a podcast, or maybe I haven't, but arithmologia, because the word arithmos is the Greek word, Greek and Greek words coming together, because Greek and Latin are affixed languages, meaning that they have pieces that come together. That's how you get these words that you understand, a comprehensive idea that creates code. So, and that's that code is a good segue to the other parts to understand. So the principles of the original languages. There are many beautiful, great languages. All each have their different purposes. English is an interesting language, friends, because it took the world by storm because of its efficiency and its ability to connect certain aspects together, which makes sense because it, in the dawn of the global connections that were caused by the British and America, you know, spread throughout the world. And English is an efficient language, but unfortunately, because of that efficiency, a lot of depth in language was lost, and things were broken down. This is not putting down the English language. This is just saying that, okay, ask yourself this, friends, and my bilingual and my trilingual and my polyglot friends listening will understand this, is that when you only speak one language, that's the only voice in your inner monologue. Whereas if you speak multiple languages, all of a sudden, your inner monologue becomes multifaceted, and all of a sudden, you're speaking all of those languages at once, and then you start getting other sounds. It's easier to tap into things like, for my darker magic listeners, it's easier to tap into things like tongues if you know more than one language, mm-hmm. because you're allowing yourself to not be limited by one thing.
And there's a lot of science behind being a polyglot or learning multiple languages and having it expand your brain, quite literally expand your brain and your neural pathways. So it's definitely a benefit you can tangibly see in multiple different ways, besides the fact that, like Andriel said, you'll know that your inner monologue is gaining a kind of a few new friends, for lack of a better word. You will have the ability to think in multiple languages and understand concepts, much like when things are being translated. And a lot of people will say, well, there's no direct translation to English, but this is the closest thing. You'll finally be able to understand it. And it's amazing. That, I think, is magic in and of itself, is that when you learn a second language, you'll understand what they mean. Because having just that English monologue, you won't. And then all of a sudden, if you learn Spanish or Italian, you're like, oh, I get what that phrase means now. I get what that word means. It's really amazing.
The thing with the original languages, so the most, in our opinion, the most powerful and in-depth languages to ever exist, the big three, we shall say, at this point in time in our peer view, this again is not putting down other languages, this is just comparatively in regards to the system and how it took the world by storm, was Greek in the West, Sanskrit in the, you know, let's say the Middle East, for lack of a better term, you know, India and then the Middle East, because it subsequently affected Arabic and Aramaic, and it also affected Greek as well. Sanskrit and Tamil are the world's oldest recorded languages, though I know more about Sanskrit than I do about Tamil. And the final big three, so you have Sanskrit, Greek, finally you will have the Chinese language, particularly Mandarin. So in ancient Chinese, it's just, and that's the root of the pictorial languages, and as opposed to these synthetic languages, which synthetic language, for those of you who don't know, essentially means there, you see a letter, that's the universal sound, that's the universal symbol, whereas Chinese and Asian subsequent languages have characters. They are pictorial. They open a different part of your mind. They are a bit more tonal. Greek and Sanskrit and Arabic are quasi-tonal, whereas other languages aren't necessarily as directly tonal, even though one could argue that tones are always at play. That's you can usually tell. So in like in English, aspects of the tonal parts of English are kind of, oh, is this person being sarcastic? Is this person mean it? How are they saying it? But linguistic people would say that English is not necessarily inherently a tonal language. So it's very interesting, and these are all semantics, some would say, but I also think it's certainly not pedantic to say that these things do matter. They just don't necessarily matter all equally. So an equal not necessarily mean one is better versus one is worse. It's just different things matter in different portions of what it is you're talking about and how things come together in the discourse of existence. So you want to understand language. So the thing about, let's say, Greek. So I'll stick with Greek and Latin subsequently because those are my best languages, of course, next to English because, you know, that was the first language I learned as an American. But the Greeks, the Hebrews, the Arabics, the Aramaics, Sanskrit, Phoenician, they all knew to set each sound to number. This is what influenced them. And the same thing subsequently affected Latin, runic. Latin a little bit less developed. Latin is easier to learn than ancient Greek, most certainly. And I'd argue even modern Greek. So,
and setting it to number, in addition to all the esoteric reasons, is the practical reason of having a main form of communication. The Phoenicians had,
they were a tradesman people.
That's what I'm trying to say. So they were a merchant sort of culture, and so they wanted to have a way to universally trade with other countries that weren't able to speak all the same language. So math became the universal language and number. So now, of course, it makes sense that those original languages would develop from a number code.
Yes, which is very important. It was as practical as it was esoteric. And you ask yourself, well, these people, these ancients that made these languages, they channeled these from divinity. And also, it begs the question, how much of it was conscious versus subconscious versus channeling versus combinations of all three? It's maddening to see the connections that all languages around the world and all, because culture was built around language, because, you know, you have to understand that. So the Bible is an amazing book because it is not necessarily inherently strictly Judeo-Christian. The word becoming flesh is the first place where things can start. It's that light, that as above, so below, so within, so without. Please listen esoterically to this, friends, because this is where it can get a little maddening. But because language in and of itself is a reason. I mean, Tower of Babel, like just
all... It played an integral role in that.
So a big thing that we want everyone to understand is that knowing that each sound, it can be set to number, is also synonymous with the mathematics of frequencies and the mathematics of the dancing and the music of the spheres, our makeup, our ether, our vibration, our timbre. All of these things were synonymous. And even we're discovering now in science that the ancients knew these things. Just by understanding these principles of mathematics and how they all subsequently mimic themselves everywhere in life and in the stories of the gods, these things are all in there. And you wonder, okay, how much was conscious versus subconscious? Mm-hmm. And how much are things guiding? Divinity does really work through any sort of inadequacy. So that is very, very important. Our words is a reason. We've said it before, and a lot of people say it. There's a reason why it's called spelling when you spell a word and why you cast a spell. Mm-hmm. Everything you say, the patterns that you run into, they make patterns, they create laws of attraction. And some people say that, oh, they don't believe in the law of attraction. Well, the law of attraction is a very interesting thing that actually can be proven scientifically if you study physics. Understanding the four aspects of power, specifically So strong nuclear, weak nuclear, electromagnetism, and gravity. Gravity is the weakest out of all of them. Gravity is the equivalent of the black hole. Black hole is the strongest of gravity. It pulls things downward. It's the equivalent of the divine feminine. It's just, it's how things sit. We can explain the magic of how this relates to things like thunderstorms and solar flares and all sorts of things. It's interesting that the sun was related to gold. The sun has a portion of gold in it. It's really interesting when compared to some of the other things that are in its makeup. So it's,
and we're going
to
be having another solar flare. I feel like it's in the next 5 years. I want to say I haven't seen too much on it just yet, but I know it's coming up. And there was one happening in on around 1990-1991, and then around 9/11 as well. And so we're going to be coming into another solar flare, and then you're going to see a lot of just interesting energy out there. So, of course, that law of attraction makes sense because we can feel energy all around us in science. Even scientists know it, and whether they see it as something that maybe magic users see it as, or they don't necessarily think we're feeling and experiencing the same thing, we all are. And that's another beauty of bringing science into your magical workings, because you know it. It's not that we don't know it. It's just that we need to put a name on it and we need to understand it, and then we can realize we're all really pursuing the same thing.
Yes, and all roads lead to Rome, as the old saying says.
Of course.
So we want to also convey that all of these sounds, all of these mathematics, they relate back to the human body. A lot of people, we're seeing a lot in a lot of esoteric groups that people are like, oh, the kingdom of like God or the kingdom of heaven or all of these kingdoms in heaven, all these worlds, it's just like, oh, they exist inside us. It's all allegory. It's just like, well, I always say, why is one the absence of the other? Like, it literally can be both, because again, life mimics itself everywhere. So anatomy is very important. Each bone, each muscle, each function, the cranial nerves, the 12 cranial nerves and the 12 major parts of the body all are synonymous with the symbology of the zodiac signs. You can find that in regards to the stories in and outside of the Bible. You can find this, again, literally in just about every religious story. Please, and for all of those who know these things out there, please relate, talk, come on the show. Don't be afraid to reach out.
Yes, if you guys are, anyone out there is an expert in something and, you know, you'd love to talk about it. If you have social media channels, your own website, your own business, we are more than happy to have you on the show. We love having guests, and it's definitely been a while. So this is our little call out to anyone that wishes to discuss any topics related to magic and the occult. It would be wonderful to hear from other people and your personal experience.
So with that, we're going to go on, you know, a word from our sponsors, and we will continue on with all the other basics that we feel you all should know. And it's not really just feeling, like, honestly, this is just it. You can ask any mage outside of us that is worth their salt. So
yes, so we will be right back.
All right, so the next things to learn. Obviously, we've said this one a lot, the four classical elements, sometimes known as the five classical elements. The reason why there's a separation is because the concept of quintessence kind of came a little bit later, because quintessence and air in the ancient world are, for all intents and purposes, synonymous and are separated only depending on certain situation. So when you take in spirit, you're taking in air. Air is essentially as spirit. It's the thing that floats up, but the air that we breathe versus the air that the gods breathe, which is where aether comes from, that is a Greek god, is aether, but there's also the aether, or the ether, as people, you know, pronounce more commonly, is also the fabric of existence. Also would say it's relatable to Vedic Akasha, which is, some people would say, is debatable, is similar, is not necessarily the same thing, but, you know, we'll cover all bases. So you want to learn the classical elements of the Western world, the Vedic classical elements, which are, for all intents and purposes, similar, but a little bit more elaborated on with the system of, you know, the Ayurvedic. So you want to learn the four humors in regards to healing and in regards to anatomy as well. The four humors were used a lot, very often by Hippocrates and Galen. A lot of people say, oh, well, a lot of things were disproven in medical science. It's like, it's not necessarily disproven. It's just expounded upon. We are not denying the expansions that were made. It's just the symbology of correspondence can be understood greater using the four humors. It's not limited by itself. It is quite expansive. And
learning about them will be another way to learn more about yourself. You can see where you fit in with the four humors, what you're more drawn to, what you more naturally are like. And then it's not a limitation. It's a way to understand yourself more and move through everything in a wonderful way that you can heal and grow in your power.
Yes. And in our particular practice, in this age where we can unify things and not unify them by, again, erasing them, but by using the pillars that they are to build a new house, a new layer, a new ladder to the gods, if you will. So the four humors have interesting crossings in the systems surrounding the qi meridians in traditional Chinese medicine or traditional Eastern medicine, depending on how it is you wish to refer to it, and traditional Chinese religion, which is, for all intents and purposes, synonymous. And to understand traditional Chinese and traditional Asian religion and medicine, you understand the combinations of Buddhism, Confucianism, Taoism, and the many other small folk religion that's around these things. It's very interesting. We always say that in order to understand the cultures of the West, you speak to the gods and they will teach you the culture. Whereas it seems to be the opposite in Asia, where you want to know their gods, you must first know their culture. So it's very interesting, and it's really interesting to see how things kind of flip when you cross over the so-called Orient. Yes. For those of you who do not know, so the word Orient comes from Orientem, which just is Latin for East. When we use the words colloquially, again, and this is the grand subconscious guiding us all with how it is language has been dictated. When people say, oh, I need to reorient myself, it's because you're starting over. The Orient is synonymous with, again, the four seasons and the four times of day. So the morning and the spring, where the sun rises, where things begin, to reorient, to end and restart oneself. You either praise the gods facing east or north, usually. It's really rare for certain rituals that you will face south or west. Usually those are for different purposes. We would not necessarily always recommend it. So approach certain non-traditional things with caution, because there's a reason why certain things are more in favor versus out of favor. This does not mean it's ever exclusively taboo. You know, there is a certain amount of relativism within existence, but within existence, there is a lot of things that are also objective. Never fall into the trap of one or the other extremism, friends. You will limit yourself by this, and you will create a collective paranoid schizoid position within yourself and the people you keep company with. And for those of you who don't know what paranoid schizoid position is, study Melanie Klein, the psychoanalyst. May she rest in peace. So the four elements of the West in the Ayurvedic, and the five elements of the West, and the five elements of the East, which are earth, fire, wood, metal, and water. Air is kind of this constant. Some people say it's what would be in the center of the Lo Shu square, which is, again, feng shui, Chinese mathematics, and astrology. Study different aspects of mathematics altogether, friends. So a big thing people need to know is that a lot of mathematic techniques that are not understood in the West are because of the overarching prejudice that has been existing for a while towards the Middle East and things of the Middle East. There are a lot of great Arabic and golden age of Islam mathematicians that unfortunately have been lost to the history books that should be credited more often with the breakthroughs we know from mathematics today. I mean, it was influenced. The Greeks, though, they wanted everything to ultimately be, you know, the Greeks, their ultimate culture. They learned from other cultures and they respected other cultures. They also knew to learn from their enemies when they were at war, mm-hmm. you know. So, I mean, the Trojan War was certainly proof of that.
Yes.
So, continuing on, you want to learn the symbolism of color. My entire class is on color alone, friends, and the symbology of what color lends itself to, both positive, negatively, and neutrally, are, oh man, I want to say, this is probably at least 100 hours of work I can give you on color alone. Well,
from personal experience, I can definitely attest to that, and especially as the coven scribe that tends to transcribe things, because we love Andriel, but his handwriting can be a little doctory sometimes.
I suppose it's not the worst thing in the world.
No, it's good. So I have to transcribe things sometimes, which is, you know, a great way to keep things in the forefront of my mind, much like the monks did when they would scribe different works of writing. And so I can tell you that there is a lot on color, a lot more than you would ever think possible. And it's amazing. It can be a little bit intimidating, but it's definitely something that once you're in it, you are really excited by all the possibilities. And there's so much you can even do in your everyday life and take these complex concepts and bring them into an everyday spiritual practice. So you know the colors that you wear and what they mean. You can associate
that. What they do to you.
What they do to you.
What they do in nature.
Exactly. What you need more of, what you need less of, what brings you a balance, what days of the week you want to associate things with, and times of the year. And even for women, what you might want to have on you during your menstrual cycle, because we are different people throughout all of that in a good way. So we can aid in a lot of our healing, even just through color.
And it's, you have to, once again, connect these things. You cannot limit yourself by these things. And what do these things lend themselves to? So like the tarot key we see a lot in modern practitioners, but a lot of people really don't even scratch the surface of the grand symbolism that these beautiful pieces of art are, and all the art, all the artistic genre that was taken from these great masters, these muse-worthy people that built the cultures of the world, friends, everywhere, and where it connects and where it differs. And, you know, there's a reason why, you know, red, orange, and yellow, okay, so things that, where does that appear naturally? And how does that correspond with the correspondences of these things that naturally work, these things? So, like, red and orange, so marigold and fire and the sun and how it heats things, how things take things in. What is the pole and what is the, you know, what is its opposite? What is the thing that gives and receives? Understanding the seven hermetic principles, that's another one. So, read the Kabbalion, read anything that's around hermetic principles. They are universally useful and one of the most indispensable tools that we have that were, you know, brought to us.
Yes, and then this in-depth knowledge of color that you can gain will be something you can translate into all of your magical workings. Obviously, candle magic, divination, reading your tarot cards. So it's very practical use. It's not just academic in the sense of it's nice to know. It's something that you can bring into practical magic.
Yes, and it's, and how colors relate to just every atom in existence, the symbology of the atom. A lot of people don't know that there's a lot of connection with the atom and our galaxy. Our galaxy looks like a giant atom, and it's also oh man, brain stopped for a brief moment. We apologize, friends. There's so much here,
and we get very excited to tell you everything. I mean, there's just so much we want to share. It's a lot, but it's exciting. It's something that is our goal in life, is to pursue all this knowledge and to really understand it and bring it into our everyday lives and make this a part of our culture.
Culture. Oh, sure. Well, and this is Daimonikos culture.
Yes.
So to move on, I suppose, unless the thought comes back to me, there is, once again, arithmologia, numerology. A lot of people don't know. They say, it's one number. They kind of stick with one number at a time, or, I'm mostly this, or I'm mostly that. Like, no, you are everything, much like the concepts of genes. There are dominant and recessive traits, and sometimes recessive is the lack of something in this particular context. So, and how it functions, and how we've talked modal tendency before, that most often modal tendency is, okay, there's a tendency that this objective force manifesting in this subjective body will most likely have this outcome, but there are exceptions when combined with all of these other outcomes, which again is like principles of chemistry and physics. We must understand the cores of ratios. Ratios are music. Ratio is pretty much the whole core of mathematics, in my opinion. Understanding the ratios, you have cause and effect.
this much of this, needs this much of this in order to not be something or to be something. And that ratios are very important in understanding chemistry, because it's a difference between having something that could cure cancer and something that will literally blow you the smithereens. Yeah. That's how temperamental the purest aspects of existence are. And the reason why it is so bad to just specialize and not put it back into the grand scheme of things is that when you break everything down to its basic forms, it's maddening and it's very dangerous. Pure something can be very, very dangerous. Mm-hmm. And to quote the pre-Socratic philosopher Anaxagoras, everything is everything, but whatever something is mostly what that is. So gold is mostly gold, but gold contains everything. Humanity contains all sorts of the elements from the periodic table, and much more that have still yet to even be discovered to the naked eye. We have tone cycles, we have positionings, because we are a universe within a universe of universes. There is many names that we should all study. You should do well to quote as many people as possible. Pay homage to the greats that have come before us, dear friends. Otherwise, you know, you're not going to be received well. So you want to be able to study things. So I've had many friends come to me and they're like, oh, I know how to do this. And then I say, okay, well, and usually they're asking me things that are very, that can be much more dangerous, like working with darker magic or working with blood magic. Or working with certain types of spirits in other types of practices. And I say, oh, okay, well, who do you quote on this? And who are your number one sources? Who do you like more versus less? And people say, oh, well, I read all of these people. It's just like, okay, well, how do you compare those two? And then they don't ever really compare it. They just have it, oh, they're just all great. Well, if you can't compare and contrast with minds, this doesn't mean putting people over or under. It doesn't mean comparing someone in a way where you, dare I say, crap on someone at the expense of somebody,
it's really a personal thing, as well as knowing these magical concepts in general. But again, knowing what works for you and what doesn't, what feels right for you and what doesn't. Blood magic, working with certain spirits and certain deities is not something that is smart to do if you only have basic knowledge.
Yes, and experience and guidance. Do you have certain teachers? I mean, not that you can't be an autodidact with these things, but there are certain things that you should approach when you have other people guiding you. Don't be afraid. I have a saying in martial arts. If you have a black belt, do not be afraid to put on a white belt again to learn a whole new thing. This doesn't mean that you don't have the respect of those other things. You know, you come in, there's ethos to this. But if you can't recite the differences in preference between, let's say, Aleister Crowley and his number one rival, Arthur Edward Waite, then you're going to have an issue. By all means, learn from the both of them, but know yourself enough to know the differences. You don't want an entire pot of soup with every spice in existence in it. It's just going to taste like dirt.
Right.
There's no nuance and ratio to it.
And learn from the people that you don't agree with. That's something I don't think that people touch on enough, especially in workshops and education, is that you want to learn from the people that you don't necessarily vibe with or agree with. Because personally, not a big fan of Aleister Crowley's personal life. But again, you can learn from people's mistakes. You can learn from their shortcomings. It's not to say to ignore the things that you don't like or the things that make you upset or the things that don't kind of put you at ease, because that means that you're learning. It's still a learning process. It's actually great to really get to know things you don't agree with in depth, because it makes your arguments that much stronger.
Yes, you must learn from things that you disagree with, because differentiation is what taste is all about, how you are able to differentiate nuance. Most people, they want to treat everything equally. Everything is not equal, friends. Nature is not equal. Like, we wouldn't be able to have storms if everything was literally equal. You know, we would be dead. There would be no atmosphere. And I can explain that if you want to know more what I mean when I talk of the scientific properties of what creates a storm and how that relates to the classical elements. So we'll give you an entire list of names as well. These are people that you should study from all points of time. So Aleister Crowley and Arthur Edward Waite, we stated. You want William Wynne Westcott, Eliphas Levi, Cornelius Agrippa, the sworn books of Honorius, Rose Edith Kelly, Jack Parsons, Francis Henry King, even so you have Samuel Mathers, Israel Regardie. you have the ancient philosophers. A lot of people like to think that the philosophers, that they were atheistic. That is not necessarily the case. Mm-mm. It's really obtuse to say such a thing, all things considered, the way that society and the way that they spoke indicative of their philosophy. And also in translation, you have to understand that English is not going to, like, by all means, start reading in English of the great philosophers. But once you, if you're able to know Greek, to read what Aristotle actually said in Greek, it just does something so different to your mind, friends. It will change you. It will rock you. It will make you less temperamental and more filled with temperance. So you want to study the great philosophers, not just the Socratics, but the pre-Socratics. So people who came before Socrates, in case that isn't obvious. You want to study Anaxagoras. You want to study, so we'll go a little later. We'll go to some Renaissance people and Baroque era and all of these. You know, study these different periods. Know these periods. A lot of people, they'll say classical. It's just like, oh, which classical are you talking about? Are you talking about Greek classical, Roman classical, or the classical period of music, which came after the Baroque period, which was dawned in by Mozart? So it's very interesting. And all of these people tap into the occult in different ways, even if they didn't refer to themselves as occultists. There's a reason why they are pillars. Study Baruch Spinoza. Study René Descartes and David Hume. Study the people and make polls with them. So we have polls in our culture where we say that the poll to Buddhism is Epicurean hedonism. They are very different thoughts, but they are, you know, most people would say, oh, well, the Stoics. It's like, yeah, the pole in the West, but the poles in the Middle East, in India, and in the East to Epicurean hedonism is probably Buddhism in a lot of ways. And we can explain that in an entirely different podcast and at our colloquiums and symposiums, which, by the way, friends, they are free to attend. Yes. You know, we do ask for donations because, you know, we want to keep the house running as charitable as we are.
We want to keep things running for people. Things like that. Donations go to our house events. So our Sabbaths that we invite people to, when we are going to be doing bigger events, like we just did Beltane, and there's things like making a maypole, having the maypole to dance around. We want to make sure there's crafts for people. We're doing magical workings. It also helps keep things going in regards to our business and just fundamentally keeping things running. So we really do appreciate all of those donations in any way you can make. And of course, just sharing our stuff. If that's really what is easiest for you, let people know about us. That's a great way to support us, especially if finances are a challenge.
You have the power to vote every time you spend a cent, mm-hmm. dear friends. So continuing on, there are so many names that you want to know, so many styles of things that you would want to know. And I can go on. And I've referenced the religions of the East, the West, the Middle East. Learn from... Now, close practice, this is very, you know, some people would say would be controversial, but it's close practice is more in the sense of, okay, you're appropriatory if you're not actually learning from anyone who's actually doing the practice, and you're not trying to get involved with these things, and you're not trying to really give back, and you're not giving credit to the people who actually were brought up and born and generationally in these things.
Yeah.
But we also must understand that if we completely close ourselves off to everyone, we're not actually, there's no way to truly understand something without getting it in you. That's why knowledge and spirituality are symbolized in the great spiral. You might be at the top of the spiral, friend. You may comprehend something. Does it mean you understand it? Does it mean it's in you? Does it mean that you can recite it at a moment's notice? Move? Is it in your muscles? Is it in everything that you do? Where is that passion? Where is that reverence and respect? You know, so that has to be there.
Yeah, so, spirituality is an everyday choice. It's a life that you want to lead. It's part of everything that you do, everything that you see. Just, we had a recent blog post that I wrote about that as well. 7 tips for introducing spirituality into your everyday life, and like small moves, things that people don't necessarily think are of importance, but really do add to a spiritual lifestyle. So like praying over meals. It's not just something for Christians and Catholics. It's something that you can give thanks to the deities that you serve and worship. You can give thanks to the animals and the plants that sacrifice their lives for you to continue that food chain and that life cycle. And also doing things like decalcifying your pineal gland and listening to planetary sounds. All those are ways.
To any music, not to interrupt you.
No, yeah, any music, of course. Classical music, anything that will raise your vibration. Those are all ways that you can connect to spirituality every day. So if you'd like to learn more about the details of those 7 tips that we give you, that's on the website under our blog. And I really had a lot of fun writing that one because I like connecting the higher esotericism and the higher magic with the practical magic. I think it's very important for people to see that connection because sometimes it can become daunting. Even though you understand and even though that's something you want to pursue, we also like knowing just practical magic and everyday things we can do because it makes us feel like we're accomplishing something and it's tangible and we can see results.
Yes. So continuing on, whenever you can, listen to music that was composed with the ideas of higher human thought. Like, music is vibrational. There is such a thing as good and bad music, friends. Each thing does something. So we are, in case it's not obvious, we're not really fans of anything that is in the pop realm. Mm-hmm. It's
very modern
pop. Yeah, very, very modern pop. I mean, like, traditional pop song, like, we... Technically, traditional pop song was like Nat King Cole, Barry Manilow, even, you know, so Michael Jackson had some really good things, you know, yeah. Cher. There are, you know, there are plenty of things that were good, but the problem is that people kept removing themselves. They weren't learning proper technique. The thing when people say, oh, if it sounds good, what does it matter? Well, it's because when you're not using proper technique and you're not using your body in the most optimal way possible to produce a sound, you are basically robbing yourself of being as... literally as holy as you would like to be in regards to your expression. You would actually be heard better. Those are the subconscious effects of vibration on everyone. Music is related to water. It's a ripple in time. Mm-hmm. And this is why music is the arithmetic of time. So it's very important. Even when people say, oh, this kind of music isn't necessarily for me, it's just like, well, you know, you should probably explain that because classical music is, and I speak that as the giant genre, classical, when people say not just the classical period, Baroque period, anything that was pretty much written, you can say Palestrina, you could say Haydn, you can say Bach, you can say Beethoven. So all of these things included. And because the music of the time is also evident of the philosophies of the time. Mm-hmm. Even people that never met somehow were involved with each other. It was evident in how these things were built.
That's the wonder of culture and cultural diffusion is that all those elements, music, religion, everyday practices and habits, and that's all what builds a culture. So the music we listen to is part of our culture. Whether you're building your own tradition, you're part of another tradition, or you're even seeking to know more about our Daimonikos tradition, listening to music is a great way to connect to that.
So, and even if it's in the background, but I will say, like, these things, they're for everyone, friends. Everyone can be taught these things.
And you can feel it. Music is vibrational. If you want something that is a tangible effect on you in a positive way, play by neural beats and planetary sounds and classical music and experience how you feel afterwards. Meditate after you listen to the music. See what it makes you feel. What synesthesia comes up? I listened to Mozart at work today and I immediately became more productive and effective at what I was doing. And it's just a natural thing and it's good. It's something that you can let take over you because those songs are positive influences. They're raising your vibration.
Yeah. Look, if you want to talk about energy, listen to Chopin's Torrent. Listen to that piano piece. It's a 2-minute piece and it is... it's such a motif of the suffering and the good suffering. So again, we've said, you know, pathos. There's such a thing as good suffering, friends. Not all suffering is bad. Always remember that. You know, it's how we move. It's how we exist. It's how we self-actualize and achieve our eudaimonia and apotheosis. So we understand that, you know, Chopin really, he was such a unique genius And that song will rev you up. But it could also, but if you're, you know, if you're trying to dive into these things, it also might, it might scare you. It's the equivalent of going up and down constantly between the heavens and the hells. The burden, but the exhilaration of being a genius that he was. That's just that 2 minutes, what can be told in that story. And that exists within all these grand composers. Study what you like and why you like it and what you're averted to and why you're averted to it. You know, there is a reason for it. And if you can't justify it, if you can't find a way to actually consciously reason it, then you might be a little programmed. You might be in a bad pattern.
It's something that you'd want to release. I mean, you know, we all have some negative things that affect us and anxieties and stuff. And so definitely work on releasing those and then working towards the higher vibrational experiences. And don't ever get discouraged with releasing anxiety and negativity. Experienced people do it all the time. We have to do negativity management rituals. It's not a one-time thing. We live in a world of other people and people that make choices. And so sometimes things get stuck to us. Sometimes we make choices. We get, you know, we fall down. We make mistakes, but that's okay. We're moving forward. And like Andreal said, we want to suffer in the good way that we're moving. Honestly, being stagnant is really what hell and torture is. You just want to keep moving in a direction, because it's much like time. It's not linear. Your healing path and your healing journey won't necessarily be linear, but it's yours. And as long as your intent is to better yourself and the world around you, that's really all you need.
There is so much to keep in mind, friends. You also have to, it's not just study. This is not just armchair theory. This is everyday practice. Mm-hmm. This is incorporating this into what you do, whether you're a solitary or you're part of a coven or part of a group, part of a giant religion, part of a culture, anything.
Yeah.
Behave befitting of the best aspects of yourself constantly. This does not mean you can't let go and have leisure time. That's the lessons of Dionysus Bacchus.
Right.
But,
and that is your best self, how you have leisure time. If it's dancing or singing or going out with friends or whatever it is, that's your best self when you're having fun and you're doing that to the best of your ability.
Yes. In our traditions, there's just so much. We could go on on forever.
Our episodes are already very long. And so we are very happy that you like the long episodes. I don't know if people have to break them up, whether you listen at work or in the car. If you are on long road trips or you have a long commute to work, hopefully we keep you company. And we are just so excited that there is honestly endless content to bring to you guys. So many things to discuss. We have heard suggestions, and so we will definitely keep those in mind. We have a little bit of a plan for how we want to get the episodes out, so we will get to suggestions when we can to the best of our ability, and definitely go back through and see if any of those questions can be answered by any of the episodes we've already had. If not, put in those requests with our business and how it's prospering. We are getting more effective at answering communications. There's easier ways to reach out to us, more simplified ways. So I'm going to go over all of those things on how to connect to us. So daimonikosproductions.com, which is daimonikos productions.com. That is our business website. It has everything you need for contacting us. There is the Witchy Book Club that you can sign up for, which Ehrman and I run, which is a fun monthly thing. We go over witch books. We recently did Grimoire for a Green Witch by Anne Mora, which is a wonderful reference book. You can email us there. You can ask us questions. You can see what we're up to, our calendars, our blogs, our events, things that are open to the public, like symposium, colloquium.
To explain what symposium and colloquium is, friends, Ms.
Biagi. No, you're fine.
Colloquium essentially is, if you want to speak on a topic you're well educated on for a 5, 10 to 15 minutes, usually at most, 20 minutes at most, topic, you can recite it. We've had blacksmithing. I write colloquium. But it's also a time, if you want to sing, if you want to recite your poetry, if you want to you know, show off your other talents, dance, do whatever, show things off. This is a chance for you to do it. You just have to reserve time for us. And if you want to just be part of the audience, you can certainly do that as well. Symposium is a live debate, and we have different topics. So we talk political correctness. We talk conservative versus liberal. We talk extreme viewpoints, and we talk very nuanced viewpoints. We talk psychology viewpoints, the differences between, like, let's say, like the great poles of the two fathers of modern psychology, like Carl Jung versus Sigmund Freud.
And it's meant to open people's minds. It's not meant to take sides or create anything polarizing. It's meant to open up people to new experiences. And we like to have little challenges where if anybody wants to volunteer for an opposing side of a debate that they don't necessarily agree with, and then it kind of forces you to research that and get to know it and defend it, and then see, oh, okay, maybe there are some points that I can agree with here, or maybe there's some points I can understand, or, you know what, no, I knew that this is something I didn't agree with and didn't like, and it just kind of solidified that for me.
So it's, for those of you who have seen the Monk debates, which we strongly recommend, it's essentially, we have everyone who is involved gets a certain amount of time, depending on how many people are there. Usually it's about 5 minutes to make an opening point. And then when the time goes out, you move on to the next people. There's the first round, and then the second round, and the third rounds. Everyone can debate with each other. They can call out one person to debate, or they can make a second point that is overall that addresses everybody, or you can challenge someone to their ideas in real time. And that's back and forth, 3 minutes, 3 minutes, 3 minutes. Yep. It changes your ability to be able to converse, hold you cool, and also realize that you need to be able to talk controversial subjects. And even if you wholeheartedly disagree with someone, that the culture of the room is no one here is trying to hurt anyone. They are just, everyone is trying to behave accordingly to what it is they feel is the right thing and, you know, help each other. So, you know, we always say right beforehand, if you can't handle these things, get a thicker skin or leave.
Right. So, and that's, you know, not meant to be offensive. It's just to work on ourselves and our healing journey and to understand where we are and what we're able to take in at the moment, what's right for us and what space we want to be in. But these spaces are open and accepting. We want to make sure that everybody feels safe and comfortable. And you can, of course, just observe or be a part of them. And we also have spiritual support group and weekly devotionals that will sometimes open to the public. The weekly devotionals are sometimes, the spiritual support group is always open to the public. That is something else too that we will accept donations for, though it is not required to attend. It's free to attend. And that's where we talk about certain topics. We kind of just let people vent, get things off their chest, talk to a group of people that just want to listen and help this person through, because there might be people with world experiences and life experiences that can help and offer a nice fresh perspective on a challenge that we're facing, because we all face challenges all the time. And it's wonderful to have friends and people that are supportive to be open to helping you. We also offer spiritual counsel. Andreelle, myself, and Aramid have that available on the website. So if that's something you want to take a little bit further, you want personal one-on-one advice and someone to really work with in your spiritual journey where you feel like you need that little bit of assistance, we are there for that as well.
Some people would say, okay, it's an amalgamation of life coaching, ministry, etc. All of these words kind of fall into this, dear friends.
Yes.
So it's a different perspective. If you should want it, we are certainly available for something like that.
Yes, it's very personal and can be personalized by yourself, which how often you do it, what you want to talk about, what to expect from us. And of course, you know, we come at things with our daimonic tradition and all the traditions and cultures and views that we have learned throughout our time. So it's a great multi-level perspective. And we also have on the website our classes and workshops. We go over the physical shop and the physical goods. So definitely check those out because we're always having new things.
Yes, we are bringing on some new instructors and teachers as well.
Yes, for the classes and workshops. Yes. That's going to be debuting. If you guys want to be an adjunct, totally reach out to us. If it's a class we don't have and it's a good, fresh perspective, we are happy to consider resumes and see if it's something that would work with the website.
We are doing a lot of things right now with a lot of social media people. And also just if you want to just create a network of business, that if you want to sell things through the Daimonikos website or if you want to take part, we've doing like promo codes and promotions.
Yep. And we'll talk to you about personally what works for you and your business. We want to be fair and accommodating, and of course just be that crossroads and that platform for people to get themselves out there and to be a stepping stone for people to really reach their fullest potential. So there's so much that we have to offer on the website. There's the podcast you're listening to. There's Instagram and Facebook. So you can reach out to us on those as well. Or you can do daimonikos.productions@gmail.com. It is a direct way to contact us with any questions, comments about the podcast. We also do check for reviews. So if you leave us a review, we really appreciate that. Thank you so much. You can leave it through the email if you'd like it to be personal, or you can leave it on Apple Music. We have, you know, the Apple Podcasts. We're on a bunch of different platforms, so you can do that as well.
Yes, and as we said, positive criticism will be well received, and we will address it, and we will talk about it. Negative criticism, or just being flat out rude, we are going to laugh at you. You know, it's going to be a nice ha-ha. Yeah.
Just so everybody knows, making that fully aware. So. But yes, thank you for everyone that has said such lovely things about us. Leaving a review is also a great way to show your appreciation and share with people and get the word out there. So again, if you can't attend some things because of some financial issues or anything like that, we get it. People are in college. People have jobs and families and things like that.
It costs $0 to engage.
Right. And that actually means the world to us. We love seeing those comments. It makes our day when we get to see that we're reaching people. That's the point of this podcast, is to reach people, to make friends, to make connection, and to improve the study of magic and the world in general. So thank you guys so much for being on this journey with us. We are so happy to be back in the podcast.
So we're going to give some shout outs and credits and, you know, some other recommendations outside of us. We love to also, you know, help people. You know, there is no true competition, friends. You know, we can all work together, and, you know, there's certainly plenty to go around, and your limitation is only how much you want to share with the world. Mm-hmm. So shout out, I've been meaning to do this for a while. Our dear friend Cinda Little Fox. She has PersephonesGarden.com. So Persephone is spelled like Persephone the goddess. The goddess. Well, I'm sorry, I'm looking at the word garden, and everyone said the goddess. She spells, it's spelled P-E-R-S-E-F-P-H. Sorry, brain's in Italian right now. So P-E-R-S-E-P-H-O-N-E. SGARDENNE.com. Here you will see a lot of her services. She also just had a baby, so please help her. Yes, congratulations. Blessed be to new life and to her and to her and her lover. Many blessings. I've been wanting to promote her for a while. This has been up for a while. So anyone who's in the Rhode Island area, especially also if you want to connect with her, she's in the Rhode Island area along with our dear friend Lane Renovado. You can pretty much sound that one out, friends.
Yeah.
It is a Latin origin last name, but. Yes, they offer other magical services and other community, and, you know, she's raising a child now, so please, you know, support mothers. You know, Mother's Day just passed, but in the spirit of Mother's Day, please, you know, support mothers out there. We want to give a shout out to her and Lane. They're very good. Again, Rhode Island area. We want to say also, yeah, so ourselves, also to reiterate, we are now in Michigan, specifically Lansing. So anyone in the Lansing areas, we want to give a shout out to our dear friends at the Homance Chronicles.
Yes.
We got to see our dear friend Nicole.
We get to meet.
Absolutely fantastic. For those of you who have never listened to the Homance Chronicles podcast, I mean, it's very different outside of a cult. We have our Homance Chronicles crossover, and we're hoping to maybe do another one again.
Yes, and hopefully we will see Sarah very soon. So now that we are in the Lansing area, anybody around there, you can come to us. We are working on some physical spaces to host things as well. Of course, we do things virtually, and we are excited to be here and work with Opportunity Arts as affiliates to get our name out there, to get our business going. We are going to be an LLC really soon, which is extremely exciting. And We also still have our base on Long Island, New York. So you can reach out to Aramid. She is linked in our social media. I can definitely put some stuff in the show notes for all of these people. Make sure you see their links and how to connect with them. And she will be running things in New York. So if you have questions on events or anything Daimonikos related that we do on Long Island, definitely reach out to her. Of course, if you email the Daimonikos Productions email, I can help you with that. So there's a lot of good things and a lot of ways to connect with us and be part of the Daimonikos culture.
Yes, another shout out and promotion to dear friends of ours. So there is another occult podcast, which we strongly recommend that you listen to. It's called Down to the Bones by Lisa McGarrity and Jordan, one word name. So Lisa McGarrity is one of the most seasoned veteran magic users and psychics. She talks to the dead. She is one of the better diviners you could probably find in the entire country. She has connection to some of the greatest names, both living and deceased, in magic. So I strongly recommend. She's the owner of Envision Crystal out in Port Jefferson, New York. So Port Jefferson in Long Island. It's in Port Jeff Village, where she lives and works with her incredibly intelligent daughter, who I have had the honor of teaching voice to when I was around. They are very dear friends, and they are long-standing traditional witches that have many generations of knowledge to offer and many connections. So please give them a support. A shout out to you as well, Jordan. I do not know you, but I've heard wonderful things about you from Lisa and our dear mutual friend, Samuel Bellamy. Samuel Bellamy, who has been on the podcast a few times before, and you'll most likely see him again, along with many other guests that we are going to bring in. We're hoping to do some crossovers as well. So please continue to support, friends. We're trying to build a new network, a new renaissance of magic. We are trying to build architecture, we're building a village, and both literally, not just figuratively.
Yes, exactly. So. And we are excited to reach people and to communicate and get to know everybody. So thank you all so much.
Can we give them the channel for the Power of Mid-Michigan Arts? Do we talk about
that? Oh, yeah. So I'm going to link things in the show notes for that Power of Mid-Michigan Arts. Like I said, I'm not sure online how that's going to work. I know it's local to the Lansing area, so I'll put the TV channel up if you're able to tune in. If not, hopefully I can get something else that's online content, maybe a live stream. I think we're going to be doing like a virtual release. So I'll try to get that information to anyone that's interested. And you can always reach out to our publicist or us for more information. And that's going to be really exciting. Plus, we're going to have snippets of things on our social media. I already put up the teaser for it. So if you're interested in looking at that, it's up on our Instagram. And yeah, so you can always just follow us on Facebook, Instagram. We have a link tree that has all of that stuff in it, which I usually put in the show notes for you guys. And of course, if you have any questions, just reach out by email, or you can even leave us voice messages on Anchor, which is where we do the podcast through. Hopefully I see them and I will get back to them as soon as possible. Sometimes I don't check them every day. So apologies if it's a couple days or so before I can get back to you on Anchor messages. But yeah. Thank you all for listening. We are happy to be back. And Back to the Basics is a great way to get started in this new season. And we are looking forward to more of our episodes.
Yes, you're going to be seeing episodes with both of us. And there will also be, I have a lot of musings to catch a lot of you up on.
Yes, we're so happy that everyone loved that episode. It's like one of our most popular episodes.
Evidently, you all just like hearing me ramble and channel and go into modes of the spectrum, because I'm
it's wonderful. I mean, existence. It's amazing that people are so excited to listen to us and what we have to say. And so thank you for appreciating everything. It's our life's work, so we are happy to share it with you. And remember, there's a little witch in all of us.
And as always, the spirits live in the mirror.